Episode number 36 of the MVP is brought to you by Stamps.com. A quick trip to the post office, it's hardly ever quick. You gotta drive there, you gotta find parking, it's a hassle. Do what we do, use Stamps.com instead. It is the quick and easy way to get postage on demand for any business. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, using your own computer and printer, any classification of mail, etc. Stamps.com will even send you a digital scale that calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You don't need an expensive postage meter, and you never waste your valuable time making trips to the post office. Again, we've been using Stamps.com going on 5 years now, just used it to ship out hundreds of official GFL team t-shirts. Right now, use my last name, Sigler, for this special offer. A no-risk trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes the digital scale and up to 55 simoleons in free postage. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Sigler. That is Stamps.com. Enter S-I-G-L-E-R. And now on with our story. Welcome to The MVP, book four in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by author Scott Sigler. The MVP is suitable for ages 12 and up and contains graphic on-field violence. This novel, along with book one, The Rookie, book two, The Starter, and book three, The All-Pro, is available as a full-length, unabridged digital audiobook download as an ebook for Kindle, Nook, iPad, iPhone, Android, or any EPUB-compatible device, and in paperback. The MVP is also available as a signed, numbered, limited-run collector's edition hardcover while supplies last. To order any version, go to scottsigler.com/store. Hello, junkies, and welcome to the MVP episode number 36. Only two episodes to go after this one, then the MVP Q&A episode in which you can participate, then we are all done with book four of the GFL series. I am hard at work on my next novel. It's not a Siglerverse novel. It's not a GFL novel. It's not a continuation of Infected, Contagious, Pandemic, etc. Something brand new that I hope to be done with by the end of June. The goal is to finish this 80,000-word first draft by the end of the month. That means I am writing about 3,200 words a day. That's math, people. That's how it breaks down. I am also working on a new YA-friendly rookie audiobook to match the rest of the GFL audiobook products. Once we are done with that, and it goes live in the store, the mature audience's rookie will go away for good. So grab it now if you want. Oh my gosh, there are fewer than 75 copies of the MVP hardcover left in inventory. Once they're gone, they're gone. Check it out, scottsigler.com/store. Sigler Fest in October in Las Vegas is shaping up to be awesome. Try and see if you can come out. You will meet other junkies. You will hang out with a real girl and I. Everyone who is gone is dying to come back again. It is a blast. Go to scottsigler.com/siglerfest for more details. You don't have to go. Just look at the page. It won't make you want to go. I promise. Just look at it. What's it going to hurt? What's it going to hurt? And finally, in case you frequent the website, we are getting beat over the head with spam, but I want to remind you that soon we will be switching platforms to an all WordPress build, and we hope that helps with the spamming issues. So hang in there. We hope you can still participate on the site. Trust me, we will let all of you know when we make that switch, and hopefully it makes things better. Only two episodes left after this one. What's going to happen in the MVP? We're still in the Galaxy Bowl. I'm sorry, but the championship game takes a while to finish. Let's see what's going on between the Ionath Krakens and the Jupiter Jacks. Here we go. The MVP episode number 36. Wind screamed in, moving the snow horizontally more than vertically. The stadium lights turned each flake into a fast-moving spark of white flame. Quentin stood in front of the huddle. His right hand felt like he wore a glove of molten metal. In a lifetime of pain, he'd never known anything that hurt so much. His teammates, his friends, his fellow Krakens, they all looked at his hand, then at his eyes. They knew what he'd done to get back on the field. At that moment, he could have ordered them to fly a ship into the sun, and they would have pushed the thrusters to full speed ahead. They weren't much better off than he was. Shodo Thicket's lower left arm hung uselessly. One of Halawa's three eye stalks quivered and waved, spasming beyond her ability to control it. Blood poured down from Michael Kimberlin's chin, soaking his orange jersey and staining the white trim around his black numbers and letters. Yasud Murphy smiled wide, showing off his bloody mouth and newly missing front teeth. Kilo Yoet had tucked his middle right leg up on his back. It was hurting so bad, he didn't even want it to touch the rock-hard, frozen ground. The Ionath Krakens were the walking wounded. Leading them was a quarterback with nine fingers. He locked eyes with Denver. Ever since their rookie season, they'd shared a connection, a kind of telepathy that went beyond even the instinctual communication he had with his other receivers. All four of her eyes stared at him, unblinking, sending a clear message, "Throw me the ball, and I will not fail you." Quentin nodded at her, then spoke to his huddle.
"Our defense gave us a chance. No field goal this time. 45 yards and 36 seconds. We need to save that last time out, so pay attention to our down and distance. If they're going to stop you, get out of bounds no matter what it takes. 45 yards. That's all that stands between you and your destiny. Now, does anyone need to sit out a play so Doc can patch up your ouchies?"
His teammates actually laughed. He looked at Rebecca. Her eyes blazed with pride for her quarterback. She didn't get to be the hero, and she didn't care. All she wanted was the win.
"Okay," Quentin said. "Every formation is shotgun from here on out. Pro set, spread left, X slant, Y streak, Z hook, A wheel. Becca, stay home and don't let them touch me. You got it?"
She nodded.
"I'll die first, Quentin." "Let's hope it doesn't come to that," Quentin said. "Krakens, no matter what we get on that first play, the second play is no huddle, pro set, screen right. Line up fast so we catch them sleeping. First play on two, on two. Second play on first sound. Ready?
Break!"
Bruised, damaged, and ignoring their exhaustion, the energized Krakens ran up to the line as if it was the first play of the game. Orange-clad linemen got into their stances. Halawa lined up wide right, Terrell the Freak in the left slot, and Denver wide left. Quentin stood 6 yards behind center. Becca on his left, Yasud on his right. The stage was set for a storybook ending, but Jupiter wasn't about to roll over and play the victim. The copper jersey jacks looked just as beat up as their Ionath counterparts. If the Jupiter defenders made the stop, they would be champions. Quentin tucked his bandaged right hand against his belly. He stretched his left hand out in front of him. First things first, he had to focus on catching the snap one-handed.
"Blue 55! Blue 55! Hut hut!"
Budo Schweck flipped the ball back. Quentin tracked it, caught it with his big left hand. He started looking at his receivers even as his hand pinned the ball against his stomach, turned it until his fingers found the laces. He counted through his receivers. Halawa on a slant from right to the middle of the field, covered. Tara on a streak, covered. Denver sprinting out, Jack's cornerback Morelia running with her stride for stride. Quentin stepped up and threw as hard as he could. Denver planted and turned. Morelia turned with her, displaying absolutely perfect coverage, but the ball was already there. Denver hauled it in. Morelia wrapped her up, tried to drag her down. Denver's folded legs pumped as she fought her way out of bounds for an 11-yard gain that stopped the clock. 30 seconds to play. First and 10 on the Jupiter 34. The Krakens players scrambled, scuttled, and sprinted to the line. The Jacks players screamed at each other, trying to line up as quickly as they could. Just like the last play, Quentin stood 6 yards back, Becca on his left, Sud on his right. He waited only long enough for his linemen to settle in.
Hut!
The ball flipped his way, a bad, wobbly snap. Quentin grabbed at it, but couldn't hold it. The ball bounced up, spinning madly. As it dropped back down, he cupped his left hand under it and pulled it into his belly. His fingers searched for the laces. He sensed pressure coming from his right. Zuchang on a corner blitz, a blur of copper and gold. Yasud was running out to the right, waiting for the screen pass. Quentin tried to lift the ball and throw, but it again slipped in his grip, and as it did, he knew he was dead. Zuchang drove in, but she didn't reach him. Becca stepped in front of Quentin and leveled the blitzing cornerback. Quentin heard the "oh" of the capacity crowd as his fingers again found the canvas laces and he again lifted the ball to his ear. The Jacks defensive lineman poured in. Quentin threw it to Yasud just as the lineman smashed Quentin into the brick-hard field. Agony tore through Quentin's right hand, but he used it to lift a key leg blocking his view. Yasud was heading upfield, the sideline on his right side, Kimberlin and right tackle Vuko Will out in front of him. Jack's defender slammed into the blockers. Yasud ran toward the sidelines, but cut left inside of Kimberlin's block to pick up an extra 6 yards before being brought down just past midfield. Why didn't you run out of bounds? Timeout! Quentin screamed, pushing hard at the key so he could stand. Timeout! Whistles blew, stopping the clock. Quentin looked at the scoreboard. 1st and 10 on the Jacks' 23-yard line. The Krakens huddled up. Yasud ran to the back of the huddle, hanging his head. He knew his split-second reaction to go for more yards had forced his team to use its last timeout. Quentin wanted to hit him, to grab him and throw him off the field, but that wouldn't do any good. Instead, he reached over the front row of key and slapped Sud's helmet. "Eyes up," Quentin said. "We got the first down. We can still win it. So eyes up and get your head in the game." Becca pointed at Quentin's right hand. "Do you need to go out for a play?" He looked at the hand. The nanosite bandage was gone, left somewhere on the torn-up white turf. Doc Patah had burned the wound shut, but that, too, had ripped open. Blood streamed down to the field. Too much blood, too fast. He'd get dizzy, but there was no time for another fix. Quentin turned to look at the enemy. He saw the Jacks players talking to each other, pointing at his hand, nodding. "If I was them, I'd think I can't take another hit. They won't be looking for the one-handed bleeding quarterback to run the ball. They also won't expect me to go up the middle, not with so little time left." Hokor's face appeared in his heads-up helmet display.
"Barnes, let's go screen left to Becca and protect that hand."
"Sure thing," Quentin said, then immediately tapped his helmet to turn off the heads-up. He leaned in over the huddle. "Time to catch him off guard," he said. "Listen close. Second play is a no huddle. Line up immediately and we'll throw the corner fade to Denver. But first, we're going pro set shotgun, quarterback, draw." Becca shook her head. "Quentin, no! Your hand! Shut your mouth, Montaigne! One more sound from you and you're out!" She stared at him hard, then ground her teeth and looked down. Quentin again scanned the faces of his teammates. "Both plays are on first sound! First sound! Ready?
Break!"
The Krakens ran to the line. Denver spread out to the right. George Starcher settled in at right tight end. Halawa lined up wide left. Instead of keeping his right hand at his belly, this time Quentin put it behind his back. He couldn't risk getting his blood on the ball and making it slick. The icy wind chilled his face. He watched the Jacks line up. 4 defensive linemen, 2 linebackers in the middle.
Hut!
The ball flipped back. Quentin caught it with his left hand, fingers naturally landing on the laces. He stood tall and started checking through his receivers. He felt his linemen letting the defensive tackles come in, but pushing them to the right or the left, opening up the middle of the field. Becca ran left, Yasud ran right, and the linebackers covering them went with. Quentin tucked the ball and shot forward, armored boots hitting hard in the field's frozen mud. He ran between Budo and Kimberlin and passed the line of scrimmage. He cut inside of Cal Gahet, who couldn't get around Vuko Will's block. Linebacker Katan the Beheader reached out for the tackle. Quentin stutter-stepped, then cut left. The linebacker tried to plan and match the move, but his forward momentum made him slide across the snowy field. His hand slapped at Quentin's stomach, then slid away. Quentin saw the orange end zone and angled for the left corner. So close! Morelia and Luxembourg moved in on him, blocking his path to the promised land. Quentin lowered his head, intent on dragging both of them into the end zone, but the backs were too smart for that. Morelia undercut him, while Luxembourg took him high, dragging him down. Quentin turned to land on his left shoulder, protecting both the ball and his right hand. When he hit, his helmet slammed against the ice-hard ground. The world spun, varying shades of black whizzing behind closed eyelids. Then, hands pulling him to his feet. Becca's voice in his ear. "Quentin, get up! Come on!" She half helped, half carried him to the line. His feet barely seemed to work. He pressed his wounded hand to his belly, somehow aware that if the ref stopped the game because he was bleeding all over the place, he'd have to go to the sidelines for at least one play. Strong hands grabbed his shoulders, moved him, then stopped him in place. He felt hot breath coming through his helmet's ear hole. "Stay still," Rebecca said. He was aware of a screaming crowd, a howling wind, and the guttural shout of Becca, the wreck of Montaigne, calling out a snap count. Quentin opened his eyes. The offensive linemen were in their stances, ready for the play. Becca was lined up as quarterback, right behind Budo Schweck. Before Quentin could react, she took the snap and spiked the ball against the ground, stopping the clock. "Wake up! Wake up now, or this is all over!" Head throbbing, hand on fire, Quentin looked up at the scoreboard. Second and goal on the Jupiter 4-yard line, 12 seconds left in the game. He turned toward the huddle to see Becca staring at him, pointing urgently to the sideline. "Quentin," she said, "just get off the shucking field." He shook his head. It was only pain. He could ignore it just a little bit longer. Quentin looked at the play clock. They had 17 seconds to get the next play off, or they'd be flagged for delay of game, a 5-yard penalty. He stumbled to the huddle. As he did, Coach Hokor appeared in his heads-up display.
"Barnes, if you can't function, get off the field! Are you sure you can do this?"
Quentin fought back the pain enough to force a fake smile.
"Just give me the ball, Coach."
Hokor started to call a play, but Quentin reached inside his helmet, grabbed the display, snapped it off, and tossed it away. One play left, maybe two. He would make the call, and win or lose, the results would be on him. Quentin grabbed Halawa and pushed her toward the sidelines. He looked there, saw Tarah the Freak, and waved inward, calling him onto the field. Halawa sprinted off while Tarah sprinted on. He stood in front of his huddle. His receivers, Denver, George Starcher, Tarah the Freak. Becca Montaigne and Yasud could also run pass routes, carry the ball, or stay home to block. The offensive line waited for his commands, ready to leave everything on the frozen tundra. They would not let him down, and he, in turn, would lead them home. The pain in his body, his head, his hand. It didn't vanish, but it ceased to matter. He could hurt later. The crowd's roar grew so loud it drowned out the howling wind. In a nighttime blizzard on an alien planet with an entire galaxy watching, Quentin Barnes would make his mark.
"Pro set shotgun," he said. "X out, Y hook, Z fade. A and B both wheel. Get to the line fast. It's too loud out here, so go on my foot motion. Ready?
Break!"
The disciplined Kraken sprinted to their positions. Quentin stood 6 yards behind Budo. Everyone was in place with 4 seconds still to go on the play clock. Second down and goal from the 4. 12 seconds left in the game. The play he had called sent all of his receivers and running backs on pass patterns, which meant there would be no one left to pick up a blitz. A gamble, but at the same time, the Jacks had to cover 5 players. Someone was bound to get open. Quentin lifted his right foot high, then returned it to the ground. Budo waited 1 more second, then flipped the ball back. As the ball ripped through the air, Quentin felt a stabbing, shooting pain in his right hand, making him wince. It was enough to throw off his focus. The ball hit his left hand and dropped to the frozen ground. Even as he reached for it, he felt something coming from his right. Quentin reacted on instinct, throwing his body on top of the ball just as Zhu Chang dove for it. She had come on a corner blitz, so fast he'd never had a chance. She ripped at his hands with both her tentacles and her raspers, cutting grooves into his armor, but he pulled the ball to his belly and tucked his knees up around it. Whistles blew. Quentin jumped to his feet and looked at the scoreboard. 8 seconds and counting. No timeouts remaining.
"Get on the line! Move!"
It was third down. He could spike the ball to stop the clock and still have one final play. But if he couldn't hold the snap, he pointed at Becca.
"Becca, spike it!"
She ran behind Budo as Quentin moved to her normal fullback spot. Becca took a quick look to make sure everyone was set, then took the snap and threw the ball down at the field. Quentin looked up at the clock. Fourth down and goal from the 11-yard line, 1 second left in the game.
"Huddle up!"
Chick, this is amazing. It all comes down to the final play of the Galaxy Bowl. What drama?
You can say that again, Massara. Fourth down, no timeouts. This will be the last play.
Chick, why doesn't Barnes go out of the game? He can barely take a snap.
Massara, if the Krakens lose this game, that's a question that will be asked for decades. I saw Hokor trying to wave Barnes off the field, but Barnes is ignoring him. On this final play, Barnes could become the first Purist Nation quarterback to ever lead a Tier 1 team to the GFL title. Even if someone shoots him in the head, he'd probably scoop up his brain, stuff them back in, and stay in the game.
Listen to this crowd, Chick. The supporters of both squads are going insane. Such noise.
Quentin took a deep breath, then let it out slow. His entire life boiled down to this, to one single play that would end either in glory or failure. His subconscious counted off the seconds of the play clock. He had plenty of time to focus, plenty of time to really connect with his teammates, to look each one in the eye. Denver, Quentin's first cross-species friend, the one he'd brought home to Ionath. Yasud, who would learn to play for the team instead of worrying about himself. Crazy George Starcher, who had faced down his personal demons to become one of the best tight ends in the game. Tara the Freak, a mutant outcast who had found a family with the Krakens. Michael Kimberlin, the former Jupiter Jack, the brilliant, patient tutor who also fought like an animal from whistle to whistle. Kilo Yowit, the dominant left tackle, the sentient that protected Quentin from the best defensive ends the Galaxy had to offer. Sho Doe Thicket, the dauntless rock of a left guard, the leader of all of Ionath's key players. Budo Schweck, his ageless, stalwart center, and Vuko Will, his incredibly strong right tackle. Quentin's eyes finally drifted to the middle of the huddle's second row, to Rebecca Montaigne. Dirt and blood, both human red and key black, smeared her face, coated her orange jersey so thickly he could barely read her number 38. Time stopped, as it often did on the field, but never during a huddle. All noise vanished. Everything vanished, save for Becca. Her wide eyes blazed with fire and life. Her nose flared as she took in deep breaths. She was in the moment, fully aware of what was on the line, and, like Quentin, ready to do whatever it took to get the victory. Becca, who had been his ever-reliable teammate for two seasons. Becca, who played every down like it was her last. Becca, who had fought by his side at Chuck E. Chong's Diner on OS1. Becca, who had played so well in the Prawatz game, bravely going toe-to-toe with what were then unknown monstrous aliens. Becca, who had walked with him on the Prawatz homeworld, who had been with him when he met a living god. Becca, the All-Pro. They had fought together. They had bled together. They had won together. Becca is a Valkyrie. She is my Valkyrie. For the first time, the truth he denied for so long hit home, hit so hard it made him shiver. He was in love with Becca Montaigne. He was in love with his best friend's girl. She smiled at him, showing blood-streaked teeth.
This play ain't gonna call itself, Q.
The roar of the crowd again filled his ears. He looked at her one more time, took in her smile and the lust for life that blazed from her eyes. He smiled back at her. Quentin Barnes stood tall. He had to yell to be heard over the crowd scream, and yell he did.
Krakens, it's time to make history! We are on a collision course with the GFL title, and the only variable is 1 second of time.
Eyes widened, lips curled into sneers, heads nodded. Quentin banged his left fist against his chest armor. Bam, bam, bam.
This play is for Stockbridge. This play is for Akhenatak. This play is for Killick the Unworthy. This play is for Mitchell Fan. Our brothers and sisters died to help get us here. You have one play, this play, to show that they didn't die in vain.
He felt the huddle's energy, a battery charged to full and then beyond capacity until it crackled and glowed.
One play to take what is ours. Pro set shotgun, X fade,
That would line Denver wide right, send her in at a slant to shake the defender, then angle her to the end zone's back right corner for a high pass.
Why skinny post?
That would put Crazy George on the line as the right tight end. He'd come straight off the line, then look back inside to his left, waiting for an almost instant pass from Quentin.
Z slant cross!
Terrell the Freak would line up wide left. On the snap, Terrell would slant into the right, looking for an instant pass. If it wasn't there, he'd cross the middle of the field just a step past the goal line, waiting to see if Quentin threw his way.
A-wing left, block and out!
Yasud would line up a step behind and a step to the right of left tackle Kilo Yowit. Sood's job was to put a hard shoulder into the defensive end, then go 5 yards deep into the end zone and cut left toward the sidelines. Quentin didn't call the letter B, the letter assigned to fullback Becca. By not giving her a route, he was telling her to stay home and block. With everything on the line, he wanted his Valkyrie by his side to protect him.
On my second motion, ready,
break!
The crowd noise again vanished. Quentin welcomed the silence, his old friend. He stood 6 yards back from the line and stared out at the Jacks defenders. They were lined up in a 5-man front. 3 defensive tackles and 2 defensive ends. 2 linebackers behind them, up close to the line, showing blitz. Would they come in hard or drop back into pass protection? On the far right, Morelia lined up close to Terrell the Freak, a bit inside of the Quith Warrior to cut off the quick slant pass. At left wing, the safety Matidi lined up in front of Yasud, and on the right side of the line, free safety Luxembourg was covering Crazy George. On the final play of the game, the Jacks were going with one-on-one coverage, betting on their league-best defensive secondary to cover the Kraken's talented receivers. Quentin suddenly wished he'd gone with Yasud in the backfield for a play-action pass, but he couldn't risk an audible that would be drowned out by the crowd. In a bitter bit of irony, Quentin Barnes had no choice but to run the play that he'd called. He looked to his right, to Becca. She met his gaze. He pointed left, to the Jack's defensive end, then pointed to the ground. Becca nodded. She faced forward. So did Quentin.
Red 16!
He couldn't hear the words, couldn't hear anything, but the billowing white cone of his frozen breath marked his shouts.
Red 16!
One last play to show that they didn't die in vain.
A memory of Mitchell Fayed's face.
This one is for you, Machine.
Quentin lifted his right foot and put it back down. The Jack's left tackle rocked forward, but rocked back just as quick, avoiding the offsides penalty. Quinn had hoped the tackle would jump, moving the ball half the distance to the goal line, but the Jacks were too disciplined.
And away we go.
He lifted his right foot again. It seemed to take forever for his foot to return to the ground. Budo Schweck snapped the ball. It came at Quentin, a perfect slow-motion spiral. He saw the laces, clean and white, spinning along with the ball's rotation. He saw them, moved his left hand up, caught the ball one-handed with the laces perfectly positioned beneath his fingers. He felt their texture, felt the ball's cool, pebbly leather against his palm. He stepped back with his left foot, putting him into a throwing position. Right foot forward, right shoulder pointed toward the end zone. In front of him, the lines collided in a dreamy final fight for victory. The multiple feet of Kilo, Shodo, and Budo slid backward across the frozen mud, driven by the Jack's assault. Kimberlin stepped forward, got under his defender's forearms, and drove the key down to the ground. Vuko slid backward and fell, instantly overpowered by the Jack's left defensive end, Heavy G Tony Jones. Jones pounded in on all fours. Becca rushed forward to block the oncoming copper-clad monster. Quentin ran left, parallel to the line and away from Jones. If Becca couldn't stop the defensive end, Quentin had to get as far away from him as possible. As Quentin moved, he looked for options. The patterns of Denver and George had taken them toward the right side of the field. As fast as Quentin was moving left, they were already too far away to be a factor unless they broke off their routes and came back toward the middle of the end zone. That left Quentin with 2 targets, Yasud Murphy and Terrell the Freak.
Quentin ran hard left. Catan the beheader kept pace, tucked into a ball and rolling along the goal line, paralleling Quentin's path. He was ghosting Quentin, in case Quentin stepped up and tried to run it in. Terrell was slanting toward the middle of the end zone. He raised his pedipalp hand to say, "I'm open," but Morelia was right behind him. Quentin couldn't risk that throw. Quentin saw Yasud running left along the back of the end zone. Sud also had his hand raised, but the Sklorno safety Matidi was a half step behind him, trying to bait Quentin into throwing a ball so she could step in front of Yasud and pick it off. Quentin had no choice. He had to run for the end zone's front corner. He had to outrun the beheader. In the end zone, Tara suddenly planted, then tucked and rolled left, coming back toward the goal line, toward Quentin. Morelia planted to change direction and stay with him, but she slid, her skidding feet kicking up small waves of snow. Catan the beheader saw Quentin angling for the end zone. The warrior popped out of his roll and sprinted forward to meet Quentin at the line of scrimmage.
Too fast.
Quentin knew he couldn't reach the end zone. If he tried, the warrior would push him out of bounds, ending the game. Quentin planted hard and tried to cut inside, but just like Morelia, his feet slid across the snowy turf. He started to fall. Catan rushed forward, lowering his head for a hit that would finish the game. Feet sliding left, body falling right, Quentin ran out of options. He gunned an awkward, desperation pass toward the front of the left corner of the end zone, hoping Tara could get there in time. The beheader's shoulder slammed into Quentin's face mask. The back of Quentin's head bounced off the frozen ground. He saw his helmet rolling away across the field, felt the cold attack his sweaty scalp. The impact bounced him up enough for him to reach out with his left hand, press it against the ground, holding him up enough to watch the game's final moment. Morelia's speed let her catch up with Tara. But the pass was low and dropping fast. Tara dove toward the end zone's front left corner to where the ball would land. His long, mutated pedipalp arms stretched out, hands close together and fingers splayed wide. Morelia dove as well, reaching her tentacles down in front of Tara in an attempt to knock the ball away. Quentin saw a black and white striped official flying close by, matching their speed. The wobbling ball started to drop. Just 2 inches above the turf, it crossed the goal line. The backs of Tara's pedipalp hands hit the ground and slid through the snow, which in that spot was strangely untouched and pristine. The ball dropped into his palms. His long fingers squeezed down just as Morelia landed on top of him, her tentacles and raspers pulling at the ball. Together, the two players slid, their bodies kicking up arcing plumes of white that sparkled in the stadium lights. Morelia's raspers tore at Tara's hands, tearing skin and making black blood fly. The two players slid out of the end zone sideline and right into a line of photographers, sending bodies and equipment flying in all directions. The crowd's overwhelming rage and anticipation made Quentin wince. Had Tara held onto the ball? Floating cameras angled in from all directions. Strobes flashed and spotlights pointed, illuminating the downed photographers, Morelia, the hurrah ref, and Tara, who during the slide had rolled to his back. His bloody hands were still stretched out above his head. And between those hands, 3 inches off the ground, the football. He had not dropped it. The hurrah ref hovered over Morelia and Tara for one last second, then blew his whistle and lifted his mouth flaps up into the air. Touchdown. Quentin screamed, a single note of joy that encompassed everything he was. He struggled to rise on legs that didn't want to obey. He pushed himself up and ran toward his receiver. Morelia sagged and rolled off Tara. The Sklorno fell to the ground, motionless and defeated. She had done everything that could be done, but Tara's will had been stronger. Tara sat up just as Quentin tackled him, leveling the Quith warrior and knocking the ball free. Quentin hugged Tara tight, screamed in his face. "Tara, you did it! We won, we won, we won, we won the Galaxy Bowl!" The Warrior's eye flooded red violet, as if he couldn't believe he had made the game-winning catch. His mutated pedipalps twitched and vibrated in laughing joy. Quentin tried to lift Hurrah up, but they were leveled by a quickly growing pile of Ionath Krakens. Quentin's teammates, his screaming, yelling, joyous teammates, piled into the end zone. They were the champions of the galaxy. Trick. Yes, Quentin and his friends have taken the Galaxy Bowl title. There are still two episodes left in this podcast. Don't think all the surprises are gone. There's some heavy stuff that goes down. Plus, next episode, you're definitely going to want to tune in to hear the celebration. It's awesome. I think it's a better experience when you listen to it all the way through. If you download the audiobook, you get the championship game and the celebration. And it's the culmination of four seasons of work for the Ionath Krakens and 52 lifetimes of athletic sacrifice and investment in making themselves better and becoming a team. And here it is, end of book four. The MVP and the Ionath Krakens are the champions of the galaxy. Did that pump you up? Did that fire you up? Well, you can share your excitement by calling 206-666-4673, leaving a message of what you think of the MVP, think of that championship game. Feel free to get nuts. It's okay. We will include that in the MVP Q&A episode, which will run after episode number 38. You also can record an MP3 if you don't want to pay for international long distance. Record an MP3. Email that MP3 to media@scottsigler.com. Or if you just have a comment or a question, it is the Q&A episode after all, you can just email a straight up regular old email to media@scottsigler.com. And Ariel Girl and I will work to incorporate that into our Q&A episode. I want you to know I sat and listened to this whole thing word for word as I was getting this podcast ready. It still gives me goosebumps. I have been working on the GFL series in one form or another since, I think, I'm going to throw out there, 1995 or 96. So it's been an immense labor of love. And now we're selling the book and people are loving it. People like the ebook, the hardcover, the paperback, the audiobook. They buy the t-shirts. It's great. They buy the jerseys. All of this stuff is wonderful. But in my heart, I have to admit, I am a fan of the orange and black. Now, granted, when you get to control what actually happens, because you're the guy writing the book, it's pretty good if you're the fan. But the Krakens as a fictional device and all of these characters that I love and you love, man, they have gone through a lot to get to this moment. It does, though, make you wonder what I'm going to put into the final two episodes, considering they won the Galaxy Bowl. If I was you, I might want to throw it in and see what's going on with that, because it's going to be crazy. Who knows what he's going to throw in to try and keep you hanging around the next few episodes. But thank you for listening. I hope you have enjoyed all of this podcast. I hope you enjoy the next two episodes as we close this book out, set up book five, which is going to be out September 2014, and then have that great Q&A episode, which is always one of the funnest parts of a podcast, is when all of you guys, you the junkies, send in your information, make the call, send the email, send us the MP3s, let us know what you thought, ask us the questions. We love that part. We love interacting with everybody and getting your feedback, getting your thoughts, and then responding to those. So I hope you get a chance to do that. We will be back next week with episode number 37 of the MVP. And until then, go! You have been listening to the MVP, Book 4 in the Galactic Football League series, written and performed by Scott Sigler.
produced by A. Kovacs and engineered by Steve Rickyberg. For more information on the author and for more free stories, go to scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song Heaven's a Lie by the band Lacuna Coil.